Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snuff. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome into the Eric Ainge Show. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. That's MIGOnline.com. And listen, recognizing that many families and partners depend on the services they provide at MIG, they want you to know that their team has shown incredible fortitude in this time of considerable uncertainty, and MIG is committed to using every tool at their disposal to ensure that their employees are not only safe, but their clients' needs are met. Find out more at MIGOnline.com. Joel Silverberg is back in the Budweiser studios. I'm in a new spot. I'm in the IHD studios. What would that be? That is my father-in-law's business. I'm in Gaithersburg, Maryland here. I'm going to be doing the show here as we social distance and do all the things and do our part, stay apart. I'll be up here doing the show there. So I'm all hooked up and ready to go. And Brian Rice is back in his home bedroom studio yet again. Brian, how are you today, man?
I'm all right. You know, the people before have to disconnect before we can connect. So if you forget to do that, the next person can't connect. So it's okay. We're good now.
Yeah, we're good. We're live. We're hanging out. I'm a little ways away, but I'm still number one in your heart, Brian.
Something like that. Let's take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
Tennessee has its second member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. Tamika Catchings is among this year's inductees.
I saw something that the SEC Network put out. Best all-time Lady Vols against the best all-time South Carolina Gamecocks in the Dawn Staley era. And the responses underneath, obviously Tamika Catchings was on that Lady Vol list.
Yeah.
And the responses underneath it were magnificent.
Did you see LeBron's response to it?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, LeBron tweeted it this morning, trying to get his pulled up, but he did not respond kindly to. Said, "Man, what?" with four crying, laughing emojis. No disrespect to those Lady Gamecocks and their Hoopers, because they can ball, but that Lady Vols team would smash darn near any team. Now, if you put them against the Lady Huskies, Bird, DT, Maya, Stewart, Lobo, now we're talking a game. Yes,
yeah.
I know they ain't SEC. But, yeah, the Tennessee Lady Vols were Kelly Harper, then Kelly Jolly, Kara Lawson, Tamika Catching, Shamiqua Holzclaw, and Candace Parker.
That's that Lady Vol women's team, all-time team, would beat most of the men's basketball teams that we've had here at the University of Tennessee. Not all of them, but quite a few of them.
It's quite the all-star group. So we'll talk about the career for Tamika Catchings, but a big deal to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. We'll give you the rest of the Basketball Hall of Famers as well. The Vols get a commit from an NFL legacy. Now he's a preferred walk-on, but Blaine Bishop's son is coming to Tennessee. Chase Bishop is a three-star athlete out of Independence High School in the Mid-State. Three-star preferred walk-on. So this is an opportunity for Tennessee to add a really good player without it costing him a scholarship.
That's crazy to me. Now, obviously, this kid is doing, I don't want to say doing us a solid, but he can for sure get his school paid for. So anytime you have a chance to get a Division I scholarship, which he has, and you choose to be a preferred walk-on to go somewhere, that obviously means that place is very special to you and you're not worried about getting a scholarship long-term. And I'm sure he's a smart kid and he's from the state, and I'm sure he'll have a ton of his out-of-pocket to come be a student athlete here may not even be much of anything, if anything. But that's still makes me really like that kid because I bet he'll end up on scholarship at some point. But it doesn't cost you one up front, and that's huge.
And his dad, one of our corporate cousins over at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville.
Very cool.
So we'll he's in the family, so to speak. We have the Vols making the top four for a highly ranked quarterback as well. We'll tell you about who that is coming up. And then I want to hit back on something that Rick Barnes talked to us about the other day about John Fulkerson and how he's nowhere near the peak of his potential. We'll talk about that coming up. There's also a Mississippi State player in the transfer portal over the tweet that Mike Leach made last week.
Hmm.
And from what I understand, there are some other players that were on the fence about staying for Mike Leach that are now leaning otherwise after what he said last week.
Well, there you go. Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show. It's a Cumulus Media production, 656-9900. If you want to join us, that's 865-656-9900 or 866-656-9900. Brian Rice and myself coming at you till noon today.
A couple other headlines as we continue on. Vic Schaefer has left Mississippi State to go be the women's basketball coach at Texas. It's a major story with women's basketball and a huge shift in the SEC. So we'll tell you about that coming up, as well as a surprising pick for Pro Football Focus for the best returning player for Tennessee. We'll tell you about that coming up in a little bit. Right now we go back to the Budweiser studios, where Adam Litton of our sister station News Talk 98.7 is along with our COVID-19 local update.
Morning, Brian. Eric, how you guys doing this morning?
What's up, bro?
Hey, so far, so good.
Oh, good. We've been tracking these numbers for you, of course. Numbers continue to increase. Keep hearing from the national sources over the weekend. The president came out to speak that this week is especially going to be bad. Next couple weeks could get exceedingly worse as these cases increase. But right now, Tennessee Department of Health says 3,600 cases of the COVID-19 in the state. About 328 people have been hospitalized, 44 fatalities, but 295 have recovered, so we're getting a lot of those cases coming back now. Knox County reports 110 confirmed cases. That's up from 85 on Friday. 16 hospitalizations, still one fatality in our area. 60 have recovered from there as well. Blount County also reported their first fatality over the weekend as well. A person had been symptomatic and passed away over the weekend at the hospital. Had a fifth person that passed away from the outbreak at a Tennessee nursing home. This was in the Gallatin area. Gallatin Center for Rehabilitation and Healing had 70 residents, 30 staff members that got positive for the coronavirus there. Again, five cases of the fatalities from this outbreak. But again, it was temporarily evacuated, shut down for a while. They did some extreme deep cleaning of the facility, reopen it, and those patients who are healthy are allowed to come back. So if you're looking for something to do for your lunch hour today, a Tennessee Theater putting on the Mighty Wurlitzer again today. If you know the Tennessee Theater does Mighty Musical Mondays, have been doing them for a very long time, but of course not open right now. But they're going to be live streaming this event. You can catch it on their Facebook page, facebook.com/Tennessee Theater. Check out their organist, great guy, Freddie Brabson. A pretty cool event. Again, free for everybody. Just jump online, check it out. Also, I've seen these going on social media the last several days, and just want to remind everybody, we've had this before too, but Knoxville Police Department does want you to know that they are not pulling motorists over for the sole purpose of determining if you have a legal reason to be on the roadway. That's not happening in Tennessee, not happening in our area, so it's nothing you have to worry about out here.
That's positive, and if somebody does try to pull you over, you're supposed to contact the authorities, correct?
Yeah, that's the main goal, is let them know that that happens, but again, that is not a policy from KPD and in our area.
All right, Adam, we appreciate it. We'll look forward to hearing from you again tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
That is Adam Litton from our sister station, News Talk 98.7. Eric, we do need to let people know that the game plan was brought to you by 42nd Street.
Hey.
Oh, 42SD.com is how you catch up with 42nd Street and everything that Mike and their business can help you with your small business. Right now, messaging is a very important part of your total marketing plan and total marketing profile, and 42nd Street can help you.
Yeah, don't let anyone tell you that the digital part of your business is just kind of important. It is literally everything, especially during this COVID-19 stuff. I mean, everyone's staying at home and it's never been more important to look good on the internet, because that's the only place you can be looked at right now. So again, 42SD.com. You know, seeing that Tamika Catchings is going to be in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, that, like,
just the basketball,
I mean, sorry, the basketball, the basketball Hall of Fame as a Lady Vol, I just think that's really, really cool. And it reminded me of, you know, earlier when I was talking about how that all-time Lady Vols team could probably compete with most of the men's teams that we have had here. I'm not kidding. I mean that. I remember when I was in school, I was in school with Candace Parker and Nikki Anasicki and a bunch of other, Alexis Hornbuckle, a lot of great women's basketball players. And we always used to go meet up over at the rec gym or wherever it was and just kind of shoot around. But of course it got more competitive, and most of the college football players that are Division I football players were also basketball players in high school. Most of them, I mean, especially your skill players on both sides of the ball. And so we had a bunch of really good basketball players on the team, and we'd end up just kind of like brother-in-law, church league type, not even getting up and down the court, but we would play with some of the Lady Vols. And every once in a while, you know, Candace would get like mad and like play hard for a little bit, and she would school a bunch of, these are 4-star, 5-star athletes playing Division I college football that were 3- or 4-star men's basketball players coming out, and she would give them all they could handle. I mean, all they could handle. And you look at some of the, just the ability, like, of a Tamika Catchings and like what she meant to the game and like how skilled she was. I'm not saying that we don't have women's basketball players that are that skilled anymore, but I feel like that just raw, just pure ability, smooth stroke from everywhere, can play both ends of the court, tenacious, like that. She reminds me of all of the best basketball players that I've ever been around, men or women. I mean, you almost can't separate it. I mean, it's just incredible.
The rest of the Hall of Fame class that includes Tamika Catchings this year: Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, of course Tamika Catchings, Kim Mulkey, the coach at Baylor, will be inducted as well. Barbara Stevens, who won over 1,000 games in a 40-year coaching career at Bentley, Division II school. Eddie Sutton, the former Oklahoma State and San Francisco head coach, Rudy Tomjanovich, and Patrick Baldwin, who was the basketball player or the basketball executive with FIBA that developed the 3-on-3 tournaments around the world. So that the Basketball Hall of Fame class. But Catchings becomes just the second Lady Vol, Pat Summitt being the other, to be inducted in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Pat Summitt was inducted back in 2000. So pretty good company, Pat and Tamika.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I saw that she said that she didn't expect it to happen and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, she literally is an all-time great.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how good Catchings was, because she played with Holtzclaw for her first 3 years and then was injured as a senior and didn't get to be the alpha for very long here at Tennessee. But in the WNBA, she leads the league all time in steals. So not just a scorer, but a complete defensive player. And I don't think there's any better example of what Pat Summitt taught than being a player that's known for her offense, but being the all-time leader in steals as well, valuing that defense the same way.
Just a phenomenal representative for basketball, and especially women's basketball, both collegiate and professionally. And when you look at the, you know, I'm looking at some, it's an NBA site, and here's the caption for the article. It says, Hall of Fame class of 2020 highlighted by Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, and Tamika Catchings.
Yeah.
I mean, Kobe, KG, Duncan, and Tamika Catchings. Just that, yeah. There's your perspective. And that's not a Vol site. That's not Go Vols 247 or this or that. That is a national NBA insider website listing three. This is important too. And you mentioned it, but Tamika Catchings was inducted. This is the first year that she has been eligible. This is her first year of eligibility, and she's, so when we always talk about Hall of Famers, and when you look at the usually we say, oh, first ballot Hall of Famer, first ballot. You know, like there's a difference between someone who makes it the second they can make it and someone who sneaks in over time. And she's made it the very first second she was eligible to make it. That's impressive, man.
Yeah, it's why it's the Hall of Fame and not the Hall of Very Good. She's truly Hall of Fame talent, and it's great to see her recognized the same way that she deserves. With and again, alongside Kobe, and Kobe's going to be the highlight of that class because of everything that's happened.
And he should be.
Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett, too, just knowing where she stands in the world of basketball to be put alongside those greats. And by the way, the articles all mention her ahead of one of the winningest coaches in men's basketball, Eddie Sutton, and one of the best coaches in the history of the NBA in Rudy T. That's, again, shows you stature that I don't think people outside of, you know, everybody here thinks great player, know she did a lot in the pros, know she's a great announcer, but really putting her career in the proper perspective for all of us, even those of us that know her, is still pretty cool to see.
100%. I mean, man, when you look at this class of inductees, man, you know, Tim Duncan spent 19 years with the same NBA franchise. 19 yeah. years with the Spurs. He's got a little Rasta hair now. Have you seen that?
He's from the Virgin Islands, so yeah, he's got a little
It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. I dig it. But 19 years, won his first title in 99 and his last one in 2014. Probably, in my opinion, the best power forward of all time. I mean, that's crazy. And then it gets to Catchings for the Indiana Fever. She played 15 seasons for the team between 2002 and 2016. Was the top of the scorers list as well as, like you said, leads the league in steals. KG played for 21 years, 13 and a half with the Timberwolves. I mean, how good would KG have been if he wouldn't have been drafted by Minnesota out of high school? If he could have gone like a Duncan to a franchise like the Spurs or to the Celtics originally out of high school. I mean, he's one of your KG's one of your top three probably top three. I mean, you get take the guys that went straight to the NBA out of high school, Kobe, LeBron, KG. That's probably my list, my top three.
Yeah, and two of the three are going into the Basketball Hall of Fame in the same year.
Yeah, the other one is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's just not done playing yet. He's not eligible. So that's going to be that's honoring people that have done, you know, and Kobe. It says it in the article, and I won't want to say it bothers me because it doesn't bother me because, of course, if you say Kobe Bryant, the first thing that everyone if I played the word association game and I said first thing that comes to your mind, Kobe Bryant, go.
Champion.
Yeah, and I think for most people they would probably say the recent death. The hell, and that's not a negative. It's not a negative thing. It is what it is. I mean, it's just that's the most recent thing that you have, and it's a finale thing. It's just it's tough. But if you do what you just did and you step back from that for just a second, then it's all the other things that are associated with Kobe. And I like that it will be highlighted by him, of course, for a lot of reasons, most notably because he's of those people, men and women involved, the number one basketball icon on that list and should be the highlight of the Hall of Fame class inductee, you know, regardless of whether he was living or not. Yeah. And I like that they're going to do that. Yeah. Oh yeah. Stop.
He was going in this year. And so, it's just unfortunate that he and the family can't be there. ABC was running some of the great NBA finals games and they ran the game 7 from a few years ago against the Celtics where Kobe just kind of, you know, it was tied and then all of a sudden it wasn't and the Lakers were winning the championship. So, but it was cool to see that. I believe that was the 2010 finals. And he had his wife and his daughter up on the stage with him as they were getting the trophy. It was good to see him play again, even though it's in replay form. But exciting to see all of those inductees in the Basketball Hall of Fame. When we come back here on the Eric Haines Show. Vols get a commit from an NFL legacy, and it doesn't even cost him a scholarship. That's next. It's FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Kane Show. I'm broadcasting in the IHD studios. That's my father-in-law's nationwide hardware delivery company here in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Yeah, you'd have no idea, though, because it all sounds the same as Brian and I will take you all the way to noon today. Brian, I'm watching this kid. Tell me a little more about him, because I'm having a hard time seeing this kid as a preferred walk-on.
Chase Bishop, Independence High School out of the Nashville area. Three-star player. He's the number 35 player in the state of Tennessee. Of course, his dad, Blaine Bishop, our former Titan and our Cumulus colleague. He's on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. He is listed as an athlete. Most of his highlights are of him catching the football, but Tennessee's defensive coaches were the ones recruiting him. So I read into that what you will, but he looks like a very talented kid that had a good offer list, but ultimately elects to be a preferred walk-on at Tennessee. And by the way, he's in the class of 2020, so he will enroll whenever we're allowed to do that.
Yeah, so that this is cool, man. So I'm watching this kid's film at the break, and I'm texting you going, all right, am I watching the right kid? Because it looks like he was a senior last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he's whenever we open back up, he'll be here a part of the team this year as a preferred walk-on. Listen, this is the kind of thing that good football I mean, like really, really, really good football teams do. They get kids that could easily be playing Power 5 Division 1 football, and they convince them that the best spot for them is their school. And, yeah, you're not going to get a scholarship to start, but, I'm going to double down on it after watching this kid's film on both sides of the ball. He's a scholarship football player at UT, for sure. I mean, go watch his receiver highlights. I mean, maybe he's a defensive back when he gets here, but this is what good football teams do. This is how you actually have depth on your roster. This is how you do that, because you get a kid that could play either side of the ball, and then wherever he fits best for your school and your team is where he's going to end up playing. But I mean, it's kind of like getting the Gibbs kid from Georgia a couple years ago. You know, you're sitting there watching him and you're going, he probably play either side of the ball. Well, that's cool. He'll play whatever we want him to. You know what I mean? Like, you get enough kids like that, and then you actually have legitimate depth on your roster. Chase Bishop out of the Mid-State, going to be on the team this year, preferred walk-on. This kid is for sure an SEC-caliber football player. He's crazy good off the line. He looks more quick than fast. Like, I don't know what his straight-ahead 40 is. It looks fine. I mean, he looks plenty fast, but for his size, he looks like if he was going to play on offense, most of his highlights are outside as a receiver in high school because, duh. But I think he would be a perfect little slot receiver for somebody, just quick little scat back guy, running little shallow cross, little dig routes, different things like that. And it's nice to have one of each. You know, we watched Juwan Jennings play at Tennessee last year and primarily in the slot. So you're used to having that big 6'2", 6'3". 200 plus pounder big guy there in the middle, and that's awesome too, don't get me wrong, but it's also nice. I mean, look at what Peyton Manning and Tom Brady made a living with in the NFL. They didn't do it with a 6 foot 3 inch slot receiver. They did it with the little Wes Welker and the little you know, the smaller guys, the Brandon Stokely's, Wes Welker's of the world, Julian Edelman's. I mean, that's what they made a living with. So this kid could be for sure a nice little scat back slot player for us. And if he's going to play defensive back, then that's what they want him to start on. Then great. You look at actually providing some legitimate depth there as well. I don't think this is the last time you're going to hear us talk about this kid.
No, and based on, and again, I haven't followed his whole career, but it in looking at his recruiting profile, it certainly appears that he grew a couple inches and gained about 10 or 15 pounds this last season. He's listed at 5'11", 175. I see a previous report in his scouting history that had him at 5'9.5" and 160. So it's
late bloomer.
It looks like he's grown. He did at one point have offers from Memphis, Michigan, Missouri, and Northwestern, though they cooled on him a little bit, and a lot of those offers are from 2018. Made visits to Georgia Tech, Ball State, and others last year, but will stay in state, be a preferred walk-on at Tennessee, And, again, you love the pedigree, and you like the film when you put it on. This could be a good pickup.
Very, very, very impressed. It's not – listen, when you watch his film, if you would have told me that I – now, if I'd been living under a rock or in quarantine too long and we were talking for the first time today and you said, hey, have you seen four-star athlete Chase Bishop? He's part of the 2020 class for the Vols. And I'd say, no, I haven't. And you put his film on for me on both sides of the ball, I would never doubt you for a second.
Yeah.
So if that's – and that's how I usually like to do it, you know, regardless of the recruiting site service and all that stuff. I mean, that's great. That's their opinion. But I form my own when I watch it, and I take the what people are saying about them into account because they're watching them a lot more than I am on a little 10-minute deep dive watching their best plays that they have. You know, because that's one misconception a lot of people have when you watch a highlight film is, don't forget you're watching a highlight film. And some players, we've seen them here. Look at our quarterback last year. If you watched a 5-minute highlight tape of Jarrett Garantano last year, you'd say, well, that's an all-conference NFL looking quarterback. If you watched the floor worst 2 minutes, then you'd go, oh man, how is that guy the quarterback? Right? I mean, like, so. You got to know what kind of kid you're dealing with, too. I mean, Chase Bishop could have all these great plays, and then he could have a whole bunch of terrible ones. I don't foresee that being the case, but I do take what people say that follow him every single day of their career into consideration for that exact thing. But it looks like with him that we're getting a late bloomer that if you only watched his film, his senior year stuff, when he's 5'11", 175, not 5'9", 160, I think you're looking at an upper tier athlete that the raw guts of him was getting offers from Memphis and Michigan and Virginia Tech and a lot of different other places like that. So this is beyond a good get for Tennessee. Again, as far as I'm concerned, this is a zero risk get. Zero risk. He's a preferred walk-on, and you get to go, hey, he's a late bloomer. Let's see what he can do. What if he has another year of late blooming? I mean, then you end up with a kid who's starting as a sophomore somewhere on your football team, and if nothing else, special teams guy. This is how you get depth on your team. This is a big get for Tennessee.
656-9900 if you want to join us. Dabo Swinney's an idiot. More evidence next on the Eric Gaines Show on the Sports.
Whoa.
Apple.
Welcome back into the Eric Gaines Show, brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. Brian Rice, myself, EA. If you want to get with us, 656-9900, 866-656-9900.
So we mentioned the comments from Dabo Swinney last week in his press conference. He's very positive, good for him. But he also revealed that in the middle of all of this, he went on vacation. Said, well, I took a chartered plane, so it's okay. Not the best example is Dabo, and he says he's going to take another vacation around Easter.
What's he telling his players to do would be my comment to that, because I, you know, listen, to each his own. Personally, I'm not doing it, but
you know, if you're driving in your car someplace and you're just together, I struggle with this, even though he says, well, we took a private plane and all that. Okay, you're quarantining somewhere else on vacation. It seems like makes you a bad example when every other coach is saying, hey, we're all doing our part, we're staying at home. And Dad was like, we went on vacation, we're going on vacation again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest takeaway is the private jet charter would be the first indication of this, but Dabo's family vacation is not your family vacation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Dabo, I do believe people like him can travel around on a private jet, that they have a staff that's either been tested or is under some sort of safety protocol quarantine themselves that takes them to another place that's ready for them to come. I mean, when you live like that, Yeah, he can try. He'll go on another vacation, and guess what? Him and his family, they won't they'll be probably fine. But that's not how 99.9% of Americans travel and vacation. Yeah. So it's kind of like, I mean, you'd have to be, you know, if you're one of his players and you're going, if Dabo can travel, then if can go on vacation, then I'm going on vacation. Well, no, that's totally different. But I agree with you. It's kind of like, hey, man, looks like if you're going to go, just go and don't talk about it because you're going to be fine. But the message you're sending to everyone else is, A, remember, you're not like me. And B, that maybe vacationing is okay regardless. And neither of those messages are really on brand at all for him.
Well, and that's why I was, and some people didn't like it on Twitter, and that's fine, but that's why I didn't like what he said on Friday, where he was just, you know, I understand wanting to be positive about playing football on this fall. I want to play football this fall. The president thinks that the NFL will start on time, and there's some conjecture on that, but the most important thing is not minimizing the current situation. And how he came off in his comments about, I have no doubt we're playing in the fall, kind of to me came off that he was minimizing what we're all going through right now. And then to follow it up with, well, we're going on vacation, we're getting on a private jet, so it's sanitized, so I don't see what the big deal is. It being able to do it is one thing. Should you do it's another. But the third is, it just is another example of Dabo's, whether he intends it or not, coming across as saying, this isn't actually that big of a deal.
Yeah, and I go back and forth on it because I do, you know, I believe that our job is to be honest, and I think that you'll continue to hear everybody change a little bit, but I do think that our job is to provide normalcy and to be ourselves, to stay normal and stay honest and stay busy. I think that's good for everyone that's involved in our lives daily. If you listen to us and if you're involved in us anyway, I think that, you know, I think Dabo's responsibility in this thing would be to A, be honest. So if he were asked if he had gone, he should never lie about it. But there's a difference in being honest and being too honest. And again, I just think that like, listen, there's people that live different lives than we do, Brian, and Dabo's brand has always been that he's just one of the guys. But that's why I kind of like scratch my head and I'm like, it's not like him to talk about chartering a private jet ever. You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy that rides and cuts his own grass and doesn't lock his doors, and it's just me, Dabo, and he's just a good Southern boy, and it is what, like, that's very much his brand, and it works for him because it's real. This just kind of is off brand. Like, if I were his publicist, I'd go, well, what are you doing talking about a private jet anyway, man? You're supposed to be Dabo. You're the coach of the people, man. You're the easiest to identify with. You're open about your faith. You are a walk-on. You've done it with hard work, and you've done it better and smarter, harder and smarter. You know, like, you're a coach of the people, dude. Don't ever talk about chartering private jets. You know, if people want to figure out that that's how you travel, that's one thing, that's fine. But, you know, you don't want to start talking like that ever, really. I mean, that's not none of your players do that. None of your recruits do that. None of their families do that. You know what they do? They go to church. You know what they do? They have jobs. They work hard. Like, I can identify with 99% of the things that Dabo says, and I think it's why he's so successful. But I can't identify with the getting to go on a private jet to go on a vacation and then making it seem like it's no big deal, because then all you're doing is going, okay, yeah, maybe it's not for you, but you know what is? It's a big deal that I don't get to do anything. I don't like being quarantined. I don't like having to just literally not be able to go anywhere. I want to be able to go places. You know, so it's never been more important.
You're going on vacation on a private jet, and we can't go to Walmart.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this is such a, like, this time more than ever, and I'm not going to kill him for it, because I think it's just, this is a classic, just needed a quick elbow bump from someone to, hey, remember, not everyone lives like you right now.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, because, like, to him,
he's being safe and just doing what he would always do. And he's probably changed a lot of things in his life about his daily business, his job, all that kind of stuff. Just remember that how you live is not necessarily important. We don't need all the details of what you're doing every day, Dabo. This is a classic, like Dabo could do a 3-minute press conference and he does it in 30 because he talks so much. And that's okay, but sometimes when you talk too much, Butch Jones, the first 10 minutes of your talking is fine and the last 2 minutes aren't. You know, like this would be the time where his PR person, whoever his associate athletic, whoever the Bill Martin or Zach Stipe is for Clemson football, needs to nudge him and remind him that now more than ever, be brief. Be brief.
Yeah, don't give a 5-minute answer when a 5-second answer.
Exactly.
Because you
know who will be fine with that? Pruitt.
Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah. I'll just go ahead and give you the 5-second answer. All right. Yeah. Sounds good to us.
Right.
Coming up in hour number two of the Eric Haynes Show, we'll talk a little bit about John Fulkerson, because Rick Barnes said something with us last week that I picked up on it at the time, but I didn't do a deep dive into thinking about it to ask a follow-up. But talking about what John Fulkerson meant to this year's team and what his true ceiling is. So we have some of Rick Barnes' comments from last week. Want to expand on that a little bit. Also, a major shift in women's basketball as Vic Schaefer leaves the SEC and Mississippi State, and he's headed for Texas. So a big shift there in the SEC and the Big 12, and it leaves one of the two programs in the SEC that's been dominant over the last 5 years or so, a couple of national title game appearances. Looking for a head coach. And then we mentioned the tweet from Mike Leach last week. He now has a player in the transfer portal over it, and he may not be the only one. Eric, Mike Leach, wild card, and that's going to continue to evolve.
Yeah, we'll have to follow that and obviously talk about it as well. I mean, hopefully he doesn't completely lose his football team over it, because, again, I don't think that he meant that. To me, this would be if you were looking for a way out or you were on the fence, then maybe this would be the thing that you pointed to, but there's no way it's the only reason you're leaving.
Yeah, but I think you said the right words there. If you're on the fence... A lot of players are on the fence with new head coaches, particularly when that new head coach is Mike Leach. Hour number two of the Eric Haynes Show's next. It's FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.